Good afternoon, everyone. Every time I walk out into the, I'll call it the courtyard, I threw two more sheets away from my notes, figuring that we'd get done early and get to it. I mean, I'm telling you, I hope everybody brought their big appetites because there's a lot of food out there. There really is. I don't know how many of you have ever watched the show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? But that can be really, really humorous. I see some smiles out there, so I know that's true. There was a young boy, he entered a barbershop, and the barbershop owner whispers to his customers, "This is the dumbest kid in the world." You know, how would you like to be named that? The dumbest kid in the world. Watch while I prove it to you. The barber puts a dollar bill in one hand and two quarters in the other. Then calls the boy over and asks, "Which do you want?" And the boy takes the quarters and leaves. Use the dollar bill. "What did I tell you?" said the barber. "That kid never learns." Later, when the customer leaves, he sees the same boy coming out of the ice cream store. "Hey, son, may I ask you a question? Why did you take the quarters instead of the dollar?" The boy licked his cone and replied, "Because the day I take the dollar, the game is over." I thought that was pretty good. The kid outsmarts the adults every time. Yeah, we've had a few of those in our family, I'll tell you. They seem to be able to ask the questions and get around to what they want, and you're trying to figure out how to not tell them, and when the conversation's over, they know exactly what they want to know. So it's amazing. They can do it. In preparing this message, I used the preacher's outline and sermon Bible commentary and a lot of prayer time and a lot of searching in the Bible. I have a few questions to start with. In the life that you and I currently live in, what do others say that we are? What do they think? What do they say that we are? And who do you say that you are? Have you ever asked yourself that question? How do you refer to yourself if somebody were to ask you? Do you say that you are a father? And there's a lot of us in here that are fathers. I'm a father. I have four children. Some have two. Some have one. Some have more. Do we say that we are a father? Do you say that you are the master of your house? And if you say that, are you a tyrant master? Or are you a listener and a pacifier type of a master where you're trying to make everything go right? Do you say that you are into sports? And there's a lot of us here that over the time of our lifetime, I've been into a lot of sports. You know, some people like swimming, some people like baseball, football, tennis, all kinds of sports. Do you say that you are an exciting person to be around? You know, we've all been around different types of people with different types of personalities, and some people just seem to be the life of the party. They always have something interesting to say. They're always upbeat, uplifting. You want to be around them. Are you an exciting person to be around? Just who do you say you are? An example might be, I'm Gary Weckerly, the one with little hair. You know, I can look out and there's a few that I could say the same about, but there's some that I can't. So I could say, I'm Gary Weckerly, who hits a little white ball and chases after it to hit it again. And some of you out there participate in that, and others look around and say, are you nuts? Why would you want to do that? I'm Gary Weckerly, a member of the United Church of God. And I can look out here, and everybody in this group can say the same thing about yourself, that you are. We are all known by different kinds of identities, but we are all known by the name which was first given to us by our parents. And my name is Gary. Somebody's name is George. Somebody's name is Brian. But those are all names that are given to us at birth. And we certainly are known by those names. So who do you say I am, and who do you say you are? You know that Jesus Christ was the God of the Old Testament. So let's go to John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know Jesus Christ was the Word, and we know that He was God, and He was with God. And He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made. nothing. So we know that Christ was a Word, that He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. If you go through Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, you can go through the creations of everything that was created to include mankind. So how did the God of the Old Testament refer to Himself, to mankind? How did He do that? Let's begin by going to the Old Testament and read a couple of verses we find in the book of Exodus. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. It says, "Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh." And we all know who God was going to send to Pharaoh. It was Moses. "The children of Israel," I'm sorry, come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And of course, we know what the answer was for Moses. He says, but Moses said to God, "Who am I?" So he didn't understand who he was. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And so he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you, that when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, I will come to the children of Israel and say to them, God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." That was his name. "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you should say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you." Very distinct way. If you're taking notes, the title of this message is, "I Am Who I Am." We're going to examine seven I Ams recorded for our benefit so that we know just who Jesus Christ was and we get to know Him a little better. The first I Am is, "I Am the Bread of Life." And this is one that we go through during the days of unleavened bread. The second one is, "I Am the Light of the World." The third, "I Am the Door of the Sheep." The fourth, "I am the Good Shepherd." The fifth, "I am the resurrection and the life." The sixth, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And finally, the seventh, "I am the true vine." The seven characteristics of these can be summed up in just two words, "I am." Two words, just like Gary Weckerly and all the things that come with it. Just two words. This will be a two-part sermon. In part one, we'll only deal with the first three. The number one, which is, "I am the bread of life," can be found in the book of John. Let's turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And begin in verse 34. So then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." The first I am. "I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Christ said he was the bread of life. Christ said that he was our lifeline to life. Without him, we cannot possibly get there. He is our lifeline. He was the bread that came from God, and it was this bread that if man eats it, he would gain his life. And this is something that we covered in depth during the days of Passover. If a person asks God for this bread, he must submit to Jesus Christ. You can't just ask for it and simply say you're going to partake of it and not go to Jesus Christ. You have to go to him. You have to serve him. He must pull himself out of the worldly goals in which we live. You know, it's some people were raised in the church. I was not raised in the church. And I certainly had different goals in life. My goals were pretty much materialism from the get-go until somebody knocked on my door and said, "You need to make a change. You need to take a look at what's going on." And over time, that change did take effect. But we have to submit to God's way of life. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, in verse 23. Christ said, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." Let him get himself out of these worldly things with which we have goals. You know, all the travel and the entertainment and all the things that we do in the society. Let's not make that our priority. Let's change the way that we think. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily, that's every day. That's not something we just do once and then forget it. It's every day. And follow me. We have to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made an incredible claim for all of mankind. He said, "I am the true bread," which means he's not the false bread. And there's a lot of false bread out there. "I am the true bread, and there is no other bread that can do what I am doing." There's no other bread that can be your lifeline to life. There's just one. Christ said, "I am the bread of God." He came from God. God is within him. And when we accept Jesus Christ, Christ becomes within us. And he lives his life through us. Christ said, "I am the bread of life." We only have one direction to go. If we want to live, we have to go through Jesus Christ. Christ said that if one comes to him and eats of this bread, he will never hunger. You know, once we've tasted that bread, once we understand where it's going to take us, then we know the truth. And we can keep feeding on the same thing, but the truth is always going to lie within us. That is, if you truly eat of this bread, you will be satisfied forever. There's no other way that we can go for eternal life other than through Jesus Christ. We can't get there. We have to go through him. The bread he gives will provide everlasting nourishment and will sustain one forever. Once we've come to understand that, once we continue to stay with Jesus Christ and follow him, he's going to allow us to follow that path. We won't thirst for something else. We won't hunger for something else. Let's turn over to the book of John again. John chapter 6. And go back to verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." If we go to him, he's not going to throw us out as long as we stay the course. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Then this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." Our line of life through Jesus Christ. In verse 40, "And then this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." And in verse 47, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life." So the first "I am" was when Christ said, "I am the bread of life." The second "I am" can be found in the book of John. Let's turn over to John chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world, not the darkness, but the light. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He has the light. It's very important that we understand where that light comes from. Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." Christ said that he was the light, not the darkness. And when one comes to him, he is able to see, opposed to being blind and in the darkness. If you go back into your lifetime, I mean, I can go back into my lifetime before I came into the church and before I was baptized, the Bible meant absolutely nothing to me. Nothing. Going to church was more of a, if I had to go, was more of a pain than it was, you know, something I had to do of obligation. My parents would go on Christmas and Easter. That was the two times I probably went to church the most. You know, or I had a friend that I was interested in, and she was going to church, and so I went to church once or twice. And that's how I became exposed to different churches. You know, I had the Lutheran, the Catholics, the Episcopalians. I say that my wife was Episcopalian. She became exposed to Presbyterian because I, quote unquote, was Presbyterian the two times that I went a year. But, you know, and then into the military, they could say whatever they want to say about religion, but it is not present. It just isn't there. So you go through life in a different aspect. So you're walking in the darkness. You have no clue of what's going on until that light starts a little sparkle inside you because Christ wants to call you. A man does not come from the womb possessing the light which Christ is talking about. Man is blind to the things of God. When we come through the womb, we are blind to the things of God. Man is blind to these things until he has accepted the calling or the light-giving sight that Christ offers. We are blind to that. I won't bore you with the details, but I can remember back when the light switch went on. At first, that light is a little dim. It's not very bright, but it's on. And it's got your interest, and all of a sudden you start looking for different things, you know, and as you move in the right direction, that light gets a little brighter and brighter and brighter until all of a sudden you start to see, and you start to want to make a change. Jesus Christ is the light by his very nature. Throughout his entire existence, he had light within himself. He never knew darkness. His very makeup was light. God's word tells us that he is light and there is no darkness in him. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 in verse 5. It says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." There's no darkness in God. We know that Jesus is in the very image of God the Father, and therefore there is light within Jesus, and there is no darkness within him. He is the light of the world. Jesus Christ came to this earth, suffered many, many things, and yet he never turned to the dark side, if you want to call it that way. He never turned where he sinned. He never had committed something against his Father. He was always in the light. We know that Christ is in that very image, and we know that he is the light. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 13. "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins," and speaking of Jesus Christ. "He is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created and are that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." All good things consist through Jesus Christ. If you will follow him, you will not walk in darkness, but be delivered out of darkness. Which one of us was ever able to understand what God had in store for mankind without first coming to Christ? I didn't have a clue. Not an idea, not even a thought as to what was going on in reality. Who among us was ever able to see the true and rich meaning of God's word without having first come to Jesus Christ? I mean, we read these things now in this church and they're so plain. They're so simple. We read some of these things and yet prior to my kind of having an interest in changing, they meant nothing to me. And I'm sure that was true in your direction as well. Notice Christ said, follow me, which requires continuous action. It's not followed me or just follow me over there for a little while. That's not what he said. He said you have to follow him. He did not say followed me, but rather who continues to follow me. Pick up your cross and follow him. You will have the light of life if you follow him. In other words, man exists in another state before he comes to realize that he must follow Jesus Christ. Human beings live in a state of darkness. I mean, we see it every day. We see the way that things go. They live in a state of darkness until they make a change in their life. We have something going on in our company where we had lost a few people that were very young. I may have mentioned that. And we have a fundraiser every year now, a golf outing, in which we invite some of our customers that are willing to pitch in, and we have a pretty successful fundraiser. So last year I didn't go, but I sponsored a few people because I couldn't go. They had on Saturday. So I get this email. I get this email from my boss that says, I'm giving you advance notice. The golf outing this year is going to be on this date, Saturday this date. He says, so you won't conflict with your schedule. So I'm out with him about a week ago, and I said, you know, I really appreciate it. I said, but let me tell you something about me that I thought you were aware of, because I don't do things that you guys are all doing, wandering around. I said, I keep Saturday as a Sabbath day. I said, I don't play golf. I go to church. I'm with my family. And he looked at me and he says, oh, man, he says, I'm just really sorry. He says, I wish I would have known that. He says, maybe we could have set it up for a Sunday, but then we got these people that want to have these get-togethers, these family cookouts and all this stuff. We didn't think anybody would come. I said, it doesn't bother me. You know, I'll just give a couple tickets to somebody and it's over. But different, you know, and I would have thought when he was around me that he would have known that something is different, but apparently he wasn't that observant. Now he is. So we make a change in our life. Jesus said that he was the light. The light lies within him. It is in his very nature, in which is just the opposite of our very nature before coming to him. We have darkness that's in us. We're looking in the wrong direction. We can't see where we need to go. Jesus Christ came from light. Remember what it said in Colossians 1:15 when it said, Christ was born in the image of God, and therefore he must be in the light, and the light is within him. And you can infer from that if that's in him and Christ is in us, then the light is in us. Not burning as bright as is in him, because he never fell off the edge, and I'm sure that we still have those difficulties. Jesus Christ, as a light of life, does four things for us today. First, it guides us. It shows us the direction that we must take in our lives if we want to live. You know, his Spirit works within us. If we start to wander off in the wrong direction and you truly are staying the course, it will nudge you back. There'll be a way, he'll find a way to tell you, you have just stepped off the wrong doorpost and you need to come back to the right direction. Second, it tells us how to become spotless. It shows us where we need to improve and where we fall short. We go through Passover and the days of unleavened bread, and we examine ourselves, and that's part of the process. But it's not a process that just stops there. It's a process that happens all year long. We need to find those spots and remove them. Three, it reveals things to come. Through the light, it is possible to understand the things to come and what we can expect as true followers of Christ. We know what's coming down the world. We know there are some things that are not going to be so much fun. But we know there are some things that are going to be great, great things to happen. And we just have to be patient and mark time. Four, it eliminates our darkness and all that comes with it. It takes away the unknown fear. How many people do you know have a fear that Korea is going to send that missile off? one of these days with a warhead on it. I hear people talking about it all the time. We know that something like that is coming. You know, yes, it's going to be a very sad time. But if we understand it and we know what the end result is going to be, then we shouldn't have that fear. It allows us to properly prepare for the events that will take place prior to Christ's return. And there will be some pretty miserable things that are going to take place. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Beginning in verse 14, Christ said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." If we're following the right ways, people will automatically know. I would have thought that my boss would have known without a doubt, because I've never participated in the things that they have on Saturday. I never have gone to certain events that they have that's over the weekend. I've stayed away from them. But I would have thought he would have known. Verse 15, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." All that can see you should know that you live a different way. You're not living just one way on the Sabbath and some way else the other 6 days of the week, but every day. You're following Christ every day of your life. Verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Not bring you glory, not me glory, but to glorify our Father who has given us the light and shown us the way. So the second I am is where Christ said, "I am the light of the world." And by extension, we are part of that light. The third and last is, I am, we can find if we look in the book of John again, chapter 10. Back to John. Chapter 10. Beginning in verse 7. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. And whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pleasure. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.'" Christ said that he was the door. I am the door of the sheep. We know that the door of our very houses swings both ways. It'll let people in and it'll let people out. But also we know somebody can break it down and they can come in whether you want them to come in or not. You know, we have the robberies coming all the time in this world in which we live. So we know that that door can come down. Unwanted persons can enter. That is not the way it is with Christ. When he said, he was the door. Let's turn to Matthew 7. And verse 13, it says, "The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own." It's kind of like a two-way street. Let's go to Revelation in chapter 3, in verse 7, in just one scripture. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, and he who has the key of David." And we're talking Jesus Christ. You know, he's the holy and he's true. "He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." It's not like the door on our house. You know, people can break in. Christ saying, that's not true of my house. When Christ shuts the door, no one can enter, and when he opens the door, only those can enter that are told that they may do so. Only the ones that he says it's okay. Jesus said he was the door of the sheep. We are those sheep. We are that flock. We are part of it. And he is our protector because all good shepherds guard their flock. They don't leave them out there just at a whim. Sheep that are raised in open hills have to be protected at night. You know, they have to go into some kind of an enclosure. Either they're in a valley or they're in some kind of a canyon where they have rock walls on each side or they're put into a cave. That's so that no animals can get in. So the shepherd can be at the door. There's only one way in and one way out. To do this, they corral their flocks. They don't leave them go around. This way, the sheep would have to pass over to get out, and the wild beasts would have to go through them to get in. So I guess it would be they'd ever have to kill them or they would be killed, one or the other. In John 10, verse 7, Christ said that he was the shepherd of the sheep. He was their keeper, their protector. He's the one that keeps them alive. He's the one that has that lifeline. In verse 9, he said he was the door to salvation. One door, one way to go. In verse 10, he said he was the door to abundant life, a way of life that all of us would be thrilled to be in. Jesus Christ is the only door allowing entrance into God the Father. There is no other door. He was the door into the very presence of God the Father. One door. He was the door into God's acceptance. If God said yes, then Jesus Christ would open the door. He was the door into the true church. Christ came to start the church. He set it up. He was the door into the kingdom of God, into that house that he went to prepare. The fifth one is that he was the door into eternal life. He is the bread of life. He is the only door. If we wish to enter God's domain, we must do it through the door of Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." He opens and no one can shut. He shuts and no one can open. Jesus Christ said he was the only way to God the Father. Proof that Jesus Christ was the only door lies in the fact that his sheep follow him and do not go through false doors. They're not led astray. Turn to John chapter 10. John 10 and verse 14. Christ said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." He knows all of his sheep. The knowledge of who he was is both up and down. We know him, and he knows us. He knows each and every one of us. John 10, in verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." When Christ speaks, they follow him. It's not something that where they stray off. In verse 28, he says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." He protects us. He's with us. The sheep of Jesus Christ hear his voice, and he knows them, and they follow him. Christ also gives them eternal life so that they will never perish and be with them always, every step of the way. Sadly, this door is not open to everyone at this time, and we more than any group of people should know and understand that this is part of the life in which we live today. We should also know and understand that there is a time that everybody else will have that opportunity. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 12. "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." It's the only way we can know, is God has to give us that understanding. And verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And that's exactly what they were to me when I was a younger person. It was foolishness to me. I went to church because my parents made me go to church. You know, that was the thing. And they soon gave that up, except for 2 days a year. You know, just can't understand. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If you do not have Jesus Christ living within you, if you don't have the Spirit, then you're not going to be able to understand what's in the Bible. It just isn't going to happen. So the third I am is where Christ said, I am the door of the sheep. In review, we covered the first three I ams that describe Jesus Christ. The first I am was where Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. Christ is our lifeline. He is the only lifeline to life. He is the true bread that came down from God the Father. And there's only one bread that has ever done that. You know, manna came to the Israelites, but it didn't sustain life. Jesus Christ comes, and the bread that he offers gives us life. The second I am was where Christ said, I am the light of the world. You know, there's light within him. Since God had light in him, Christ was in his image, Christ had light in him, and no darkness was within him. Christ had the ability to put this light in each of us. Each of us can have that light. If we have his Spirit and we follow him, that light will flow within us and it will lead us. And we will be different in society. We will automatically be different. It won't be that we will be one way on the Sabbath and a different way the other 6 days of the week. The third I am was where Christ said, I am the door of the sheep. There is no other door that man can go through. There is no other door to the kingdom of God. There is no other door that man can go through to gain the knowledge of the true gospel. There is just one door. Christ is our protector, our sustainer. He gives us true understanding of God's word and our future. When Christ opens a door, no man can close it. And when he closes that door, no man can open it. So next time we will go through the other four I ams.